Now, the second reading at this liturgy, this splendid liturgy we have on Christmas Day, is from the letter to the Hebrews. You notice, as St. Thomas already remarked, the third Mass is all about the glorious, radiant divinity of God become man. We've seen that in all the readings so far. And now for the first time, what we saw in all the readings so far, now for the first time, we're entering the New Testament. And so we have this reading from Hebrews, which is so beautiful. And every time I read it, I have a wonderful memory. Because when I was doing my studies in Rome, I had a course on Hebrews with Father Van Waugh, Cardinal Van Waugh now, and it was a marvelous course. I resolved to take Easter vacation to study Hebrews. Now, all I had to study was chapter 10. It's all we did in a semester. That's the way they go over there. But I was studying, and it was such a joy. So anyway, it goes, on many occasions, polymeros ke polytropos, and many ways, in times past, God, having spoken to the fathers by the prophets, at the end of these days, spoke to us in a Son. So you see, you have this continual care of God for his people. How he loves his people. Do you see? I mean, he punishes them, he forgives them, he gets them out of exile. He helps them in the post-exilic period. He continues to send prophets. He still loves his people. And so, see, many ways, many fashions, many tropos, many ways. In pale, once upon a time, literally, in times past, God, having spoken to the fathers by the prophets, that's our fathers, that's Moses, Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they're our fathers. He spoke to them by the prophets. At the end of these days, spoke to us in his Son. You see what he's done? He's taken the whole life of Jesus and make it a speech. Everything that God did in Jesus Christ, the Word of God did, is a speech. It's a declaration. I love you. I have saved you. Spoke to us in the Son. And now we have this description. I've already mentioned how often in the New Testament we have the description of the Son in heaven and then come to earth and then return to heaven. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, in the nature of God, didn't consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to. There he is in heaven. But he humbled himself, taking the form of a man. And being found as a man, he humbled himself more. He became obedient. Obedient unto death. Death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him and gave him the name. What name did he give him? Kyrios. Lord. In his humanity, we can call him Yahweh. Which is... because all that text, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, that's one of the strongest monotheistic statements in the whole of the Old Testament, Jeremiah 45. And it says, see, by me every tongue shall swear, to Mary, and all of that is now said about Jesus. So he established as heir of all things, means he takes Abraham's place. The tradition was Abraham inherited the universe. Through whom, he made the ages. When we look on Jesus, when we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we are receiving the one through whom the Father made all the ages. It's that powerful. And now look at his description. It's borrowed, or the wording is borrowed to apply to Jesus. The words come from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7. Who being the radiance of his glory, and the imprint of his being. How else do you, in glorious terms? In other words, you have a candle. Now distinguish between me, between the flame and the light. Can you do it? Well, they are different, aren't they? But in a way, they're the same. And that's what he says. You see, the radiance of his glory, the flame or the light of his flame. Do you get it? This is trying to tell us the Trinity and the imprint of his being, the charakter, the imprint. He's everything the Father is, except he's the Son. And now, sustaining all things by the word of his power. This is the one. Now listen to the next line. Having brought about purification of sins. How did he do that? The cross. This one, who is the radiance of his glory, the imprint of his being, brought about the purification of sins by his cross. Isn't that marvelous? After having done that, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now he's back in heaven. You see the rhythm? And how often we have that rhythm. You see, having become as superior to the angels, as different from them is the name he has inherited. To whom among the angels did he ever say, "You are my son"? None. You are my son. And you remember we've talked about this before. This is Psalm 2. You are my son. This day I have begotten you. At the moment of that begetting into the fullness, when Jesus enters into the fullness of his kingship, is at the resurrection. You remember I quoted that text from Acts 13. I think it's 33, where Paul says, and he was raised up and to the very right hand of God, as it is written in Psalm 2, "You are my son, I have begotten you." And so he has inherited this name of son, which only he can bear in the full meaning of this son. And so, you see, to whom did he say that? And again, and then this author who knows scripture, we don't know who it is, of course, as Origen once said, as to the author of this letter, we don't know, only God knows. So we have plenty of learned guests, and one is Apollo, who certainly was renowned for his knowledge of Scripture. So now we have this text, "I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son," which is another kingship. On the other hand, when he introduces the firstborn into the universe, that is, after the resurrection, he says, "And let them adore him, all the angels of God." Now, that is, you see, this description. You see how the Word of God can take us, you see, back into the very heart of the Trinity. God, it says here, you see, God spoke polymeroske polythropos. He spoke in many ways to the fathers. That's who? Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, David. He spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Now, he speaks to us not through the Son, in a Son. He speaks to us. And that speaking is the whole life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's one word. And he speaks this word, spoke to us, which is a punctiliar past, spoke to us in a Son, whom he made, through whom he also made the ages, who being the radiance of his glory. Isn't this beautiful? Just think, wouldn't you like to be a mystic and see what that means, that Jesus, the Word, is the radiance of the Father's glory, the imprint of his being. Everything the Father is imprinted from all eternity in the Son. It's there forever. So he's the radiance, you see, he's the light of the flame. And he is the very imprint. It's less like if I take my ring and I put it into warm wax, you see, that's the imprint. It's the same thing, but in another mode of existence. Well, even that's not exactly the Trinity, but you get the idea? You see, he's the imprint of his being. And then this one, you see, who sustains all things by the word of his power. This Jesus, as I said, you know, we received him this morning in the Eucharist. We received the one who sustains the universe. We don't even know how big this universe is. And he sustains it by the word of his power. That's the one. And then it says, having brought about purification of sins. Now he'll expand this as the letter goes on, but we can expand it right now. Bringing about the purification of sins, walking along that road, carrying his cross, probably stark naked, though the Jews objected to that, so maybe not. People on either side, who up to this point had been his fans, now they're afraid to show any sign at all, because they could be roped in to be part of this, you know, and be punished themselves. So they're standing there saying, he was a nice young man, but he's a failure. And he could hear it. They're not saying, Jesus, you know, we love you. We hate to see what's happening to you. And we know that it's for our good. No. They're saying, poor man, he tried. But you can't buck Rome. You know, it's just no way. So he healed some of us and he preached beautiful stuff. But he crossed the authorities and it's over. And he could hear that as he carried that cross beam all along the road. Now, actually, over there, we've discovered that probably the road. It goes from Herod's place along this road, which is still not too built up, out to the where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is today. And people walking along that road and seeing this, huh? He brought about purification of sins. That means everything that the sacrificial system of Judaism did in its own way is now perfected. In fact, all the efficacy of that sacrificial system, you see, is found because of Christ. I'm going to give you a quote from St. Thomas. I'm going to have to say it fast, but it's so important. He said, our fathers who lived by faith, when they practiced the rituals, went through the rituals to the reality they stood for, namely the cross and resurrection of Christ. And thus, they share the same life that we do. Because, as Aristotle said, the movement of the mind that goes from the image through the image can go through the image to the reality. So, in their own way, the Jews, the devout Jews who practiced the sacrificial system, which was valid until the cross, you see, went through that system and touched the cross. And therefore, as Augustine says also, they belong to the same body of Christ that we do. And that's why Origen says, remember, we just said that text, where it's Christ who receives them into Israel. All right, that's the letter to the Hebrews. Now we'll look at the prologue of John.